Bright Star Care of the St. Croix Valley has created a series of monthly gatherings called the Care Together Cafe. The cafe is a great way to meet caregivers just like you and to hear from local experts about the issues important to seniors and their families. The events are free and include wine and hors d'oeuvres at Swirl Wine Bar in Afton. On Wednesday, September 26th, the Care Together Cafe meets once again at Swirl Wine Bar from 3 to 5 p.m. The topic is estate planning. Is it in your bucket list? Our guest speaker is Christopher Burns, who is an elder law and estate planning attorney with Henson and Efron. Christopher will discuss the importance of a thoughtful estate plan versus leaving it to the last minute. If you or a loved one has procrastinated about this important topic, then join us for a glass of wine and learn how you can create a lasting gift. KLBB recently sat down with Christopher to discuss estate planning and to preview his presentation.
Many different professionals use the term differently, but how I'm using the term is the planning for the thoughtful disposition of your assets upon your death. This could include both, you know, a will or revocable trust planning, but also grabbing those other pieces, the beneficiary designations on your life insurance and qualified plan assets, annuities, things like that, and having a complete plan for the disposition of all of those things, getting your, you know, the right things to the right people. And that's what estate planning is about. The common perception that maybe I don't have enough assets, I don't have enough sophistication to be concerned about things. People hear of the federal estate tax exemption at $5,120,000 and they say, well, I don't have those kind of assets, so I don't need that type of planning. But one of the other facets is of getting your affairs in order. Maybe you have some minor children and maybe you, like many of us, might look and say, you know what, we have some siblings, some loved ones that would be in a better position to take and raise those kids should something happen to yourself or your spouse or what have you. And having that in place, naming your guardians and conservators to take and finish raising your kids is another important aspect, as well as maybe you wouldn't want those kids to receive that money outright at 18. Myself, I wasn't the most adult, mature, and responsible person at age 18, and so, you know, maybe a trust that would delay the distributions to kids until maybe they're 21, 25, 30, you know, frankly, oftentimes much, much older than that as well would be appropriate. The time to think about estate planning is every now and again. It's not a bucket list item that you do once and you never have to think about again. Think about kind of the transition periods that we have in life. We get done with our schooling, whether that's high school or college or whatever it is, and maybe we start to have a family. Well, that's a time for the guardians and conservators. Maybe as we continue to earnestly save money over time, we have a little bit more. Maybe we want to then plan for our kids to get the assets in a different light. Maybe still later our kids have kids of their own, and maybe we scratch our head and say, you know, gosh, I always loved my kids, but those grandkids, you know, that's really special. I think of my own mother. As I grew up as a kid, we never had some of the sweetened cereals in the cupboard, and now my kids go over to see Grandma, and every single sugared cereal candy treat is in the cupboard. And not saying that my mother's bypassing me and her estate plan, but she very well might if her cupboard is any indication. And then still later, folks are focused more on kind of end-of-life decisions, maybe even those charitable decisions of, you know what, this charity's always done good work, and my kids or grandkids don't need the money. They've done well for themselves, or somebody wants to tithe to their church or other institution. And so those are all times. What I encourage clients to do is every year or two, kind of dust off the estate plan, look at it. They may not need to call me. They might not need to contact me, but dust it off, look at it, and see if changes are necessary. Oftentimes they're not, and nothing needs to be done, but sometimes they are. And there's also been changes in the law that have necessitated changing documents from time to time as well. One of the changing dynamics that we have is it's not always the nuclear family that mom and dad only married once and all of the kids of that marriage. Many times it's the changing dynamics of step-parents or step-grandchildren or other sorts of dynamic relationships. Other times it might be the situation in which different children have different needs. Maybe one child's more successful than the other. Maybe one child has special needs, and maybe you need to plan for those special needs. Maybe they suffer from a disability, and maybe their assets need to be held in a particular type of trust so that they don't lose the benefits that they benefit from. And so all of these changing things result in different plans at different points in someone's life, depending on their circumstances. And it gives us the opportunity to plan for those specific things. We had one instance in which a person's child would have gone off the various government benefits that the child received had they left that child a dollar. And previously, their estate plan had been equal shares to the kids. We were able to structure a plan that could supplant the needs of the child that was on those programs, but not eliminate that. And that allowed that child to stay in a community that they wouldn't have otherwise been able to stay in. So all of those things are factors. It's interesting. Folks think that they understand and know exactly what they're going to do as they come to the estate planning process, but oftentimes it's some of the hard questions. You know, a husband turns to a wife and says, I never knew you felt that way, or the wife to the husband, I never knew you felt that way. As they kind of go through that process, oftentimes it's not that first meeting where they have all of the answers, but it might be a second or a third meeting. Oftentimes the question that leads to that is parents assume that maybe they have to leave assets to their kids, and when I tell them, you don't need to do that, you can leave assets to a charity, to a friend, to others, they say, well, we can? And then the answer is, of course you can. It leads them into different directions. I had one instance recently in which a couple had three children, and I drew a box for the husband and a box for the wife with three boxes underneath. And they said, so that's how we want it to go. And I drew a fourth box, and the wife turned to her husband and said, is there something I don't know about? And after we all laughed and got over it, and this strong Norwegian Lutheran family had some guffaws and some laughs at the humor, you know, we looked and I said, I drew that fourth box just to see if there's anyone else, not to suggest anything otherwise. And the husband professed in the strongest terms there was no other fourth box, but said, you know, let's talk about that, and let's talk about what that might look like. And they came to a conclusion that they were going to have a fourth box, and that fourth box was going to be a number of small boxes inside of it. Some charity, they had a neighbor child that they practically raised, and they said, well, he's not our biological child, but, you know, we took him in and raised him. And, you know, it was just that discovery process that they went through, you know, that helped a great deal. The other thing is, even after the Terry Schiavo case in Florida, as we talk about the healthcare directives and powers of attorney and those kind of end-of-life decision-making, it still amazes me. Most couples have at least talked about it a little bit, and maybe they've talked about burial or cremation or organ donation, tissue donation, but sometimes they haven't had those real critical discussions. They just assume that people know their wishes, and that's the other real big discovery, is people never knowing that, you know, you wanted to be buried here, or that you wanted this or that, or what was important to you. Recently, I had a client that wanted a Green Bay Packer type of casket for their funeral. They wanted it the green and gold and everything else, and they wanted to be buried in their favorite Packer jersey. And I said, you know, if that's important to them, you know, so be it. They don't need to be buried in a suit and tie. I'm not aware of any funeral home having that requirement. And the client just loved that feature, that he had never expressed that to his wife before. She kind of, her eyes roll back in her head, and she suggested that she hopes that she's the first to go so she doesn't need to see that casket. But, you know, there are all of these self-discovery options that are available, and they all take place just through these candid, hard discussions. Us Minnesotans and those that live in western Wisconsin, we love our spouse so much we might even tell them once in a while. Some of these things are hard, gut-wrenching things to talk about, but through the process, these things all come out, and those that survive, those that are left behind, are better off for it.
Thanks, Christopher. Reserve your place at the Care Together Cafe by visiting klbbradio.com and typing the keyword search Brightstar. Christopher's presentation is September 26th from 3 to 5 p.m. at Swirl Wine Bar in Afton. Again, RSVP by visiting klbbradio.com and typing the keyword search Brightstar. For more information, call Cindy Ross at Brightstar Care of the St. Croix Valley at 651-234-0044. Attend the Care Together Cafe, September 26th from 3 to 5 p.m. at Swirl Wine Bar in Afton, Minnesota.